clothes? And he said, yeah, and we can sit on stools. So I don't know about any of you, but I've got a few aching muscles and a little bit of tiredness and a whole lot of joy at seeing what happened here last night. Thank you to all of you who made it possible. And as I look around this room, it really is all of you who made it possible. Truly a full church effort. We had a few friends over for a picnic last night. Just, a couple of folks sitting around playing some games and watching the sun go down. Quiet evening on the hill. And I hope you got to hear from those friends how delighted they were by the experience. Over and over, people came up and said, thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. Thank you for having it. This is so nice, and our family loves to be here. So thank you for making that happen. Hilltop Fun Fest was an occasion where the entire church... How about now? Somebody said, pretend like I'm talking to my children. See, I can't really do that in public. That would be bad. So thanks to all of you who joined as we had a few friends over for supper last night and played some games, and I hope you all got to hear their many positive comments and the joy that was present here on this hill last evening. Hilltop Fun Fest is an occasion where the entire church community joins together, as well as last night we had several dozen people volunteering to staff this event who have no association with Slate Hill, and it was a delight to get to work side by side with those folks as well. There are some other occasions where we see a large number of people in this church community come together for chicken barbecues, which is opportunity to raise funds for missions locally and globally, but also just a time that many people come up the hill and experience this positive interaction with us. And they always talk about how friendly the people are and how much they enjoy being here for that. We do that too for Spring Fling. If you haven't been a part of that yet, I'd encourage you to do it. That is a very special kind of joy that happens here that day, and you will leave with full hearts. So there are a number of opportunities where our whole church family comes together. Everyone does their part, and the result is really spectacular.
This week, I went through a Sunday morning at Slate Hill and thought about it. And I wondered, how many people does it take to pull this off on a Sunday morning? So here's what I discovered. Take someone to unlock the doors. People were in here early practicing for worship, setting up for different activities. The audiovisual guys are busy. Ushering, music and worship leading, worship teams, people at the Welcome Center, greeters, children's church leaders and helpers. Someone's even distributing Giant and other gift cards. Prepping and serving coffee, providing snacks, washing the coffee cups, counting the offering, depositing the offering, nursery during church and Sunday school. We even have blood pressure checks once a month. Sunday school teachers and helpers, substitutes for teachers, floaters who are part of going around, part of our child protection policy, and then lock up and turn off the lights. All this happens on a Sunday morning at Slate Hill. Then another event that happens is our Wednesday Night Out program, and these are the things that happen there. Someone has to pick up the food. It doesn't just appear. Food preparation. People serve the food with a smile. Clean up. Wash the dishes. Count the Wednesday Night Out money. Deposit the money. Lead activities for the children. Nursery. Leaders and helpers for the children and youth. Someone leads adult Bible study. And then, of course, lock up and turn off the lights. That involves quite a few people. Now, Joy and I have spent a lot of time talking this last 2 weeks as we prepared for this, talking about how many people serve here at Slate Hill. And we both admitted, individually and then corporately, that we do not say thank you enough for those visible ministries and those behind the scenes. Both of them are very highly valued. Each one is valued. And we value how much time and commitment you give. But I'd like to highlight one area that to me is a shining star in this church. It said we at Slate Hill start them young, early. We have them start serving as children and youth, those that ushered you in this morning, those that work the audio vision area, visual area, those who now assist and help lead some children's ministries, those that help move tables and chairs, those that use their musical gifts. What is really exciting to me is this, that many times the youth are driving the parents to church. Well, no, not literally driving, but by their responsibilities, getting here early. Many a parent has talked to me about the youth taking their position, their ministry positions here, very seriously. And the youth tell their parents that they cannot miss church because they have to do ministry. And I want to give a big shout-out thank you to our children and the youth and their parents. Can we just give them a hand?
In addition to those times that we all come together for big events and those weekly things that are so many people working together to make it happen, there are also a lot of kind of one-time individual acts that happen that are acts of loving service in this congregation. On many occasions when somebody is having a baby, somebody is experiencing illness or surgery, someone is experiencing grief, someone shows up at their door with a meal. And often, a couple days later, another, and a couple days later, another. That's one of the ways that love is shown in this community. We've also seen people show up in droves to help with moving. We've seen a number of people who participate in visits, who are regularly visiting our seniors or others who are just needing it. We have people who are committed to sending cards. They pray and they write a note and they put it in the mail and it brightens someone's day when they're going through a difficult time or they're experiencing loneliness to just know they were loved, they were prayed for. And we have a very dedicated group of care group leaders. The care group ministry in this church is, to a large extent, the church. Many people connect more deeply there than they do anywhere else. And the people who have been providing leadership to that are people who are really making a regular and repeated and strong and very meaningful impact in the lives of the families in their care group. So to all of you who are doing those sorts of tremendous caring ministries, thank you for all that you're doing to make that happen.
Today really is a celebration, but it's also an invitation. And I want to turn now towards this invitation. An invitation because of the growth in our children and youth ministries. Norman Zimmerman, I used him last week and we'll use him again. Norman says that the dismissal of the children for Children's Church sounds like a thundering herd. And it's wonderful music to his ears. And I think that is absolutely true. Do you know there's a lot of churches that don't have thundering herds leaving? Because there's not a lot of children in this church, in their churches. But we have that. And I'm like Norman, every time that dismissal for Children's Church happened and that thundering herd heads back, is wonderful, wonderful music to our ears. I would like to share just a little vision for our nurturing ministries here. The time that nurturing is between the time that we dedicate the children here, we bring them up with the parents, and then we say that we are going to help with the nurture of the children. And today really was the end of that for some, not the complete end, but the end of high school graduate. From the moment they're brought in here as babies and we dedicate them to the moment that they are baptized and the moment they graduate from high school, whether that comes first or second is up to them. But that is really a neat thing. And so we have many opportunities that we continue to think about when it comes to our nurturing care of our church. The nurturing and care in small groups, and also the critical times for our children and youth. One of the things that I think that impacted me the most when I was about 22 was I was listening to a video from John Maxwell, who is a leadership guy and was a pastor for many, many years. And one of the things, and I remember I was like 22 or 23, when I heard these words, it just rang into my heart. And he said this. He said, you know, growing up, I don't remember a lot of the Bible lessons specifically. I remember the stories. But he said, this is what I do really remember. I remember each Sunday school teacher or someone who walked alongside of me during that time. And then he told a story of his sixth grade boys' Sunday school teacher. And he said, you know, we came in as sixth grade boys, and we were a pretty rowdy bunch. But he said that teacher, week after week, just loved us. He said, I can't even remember how many times that we were disruptive, but he showed love and care to us. And he would pray for us. And John Maxwell said that it probably, if it wouldn't have been for that sixth grade Sunday school teacher, he probably wouldn't be a pastor. Because that sixth grade Sunday school teacher would pray each Sunday for them, for God to call them into some sort of ministry. And he said, now looking back 20-some years later at that time, or 30 years later, he said, out of those 9 boys, 5 of them are in full-time ministry. And that story that he told has really stuck with me. The impact that we have in the care and nurture of our children is so important. And what's really more important is maybe not so much each Sunday school lesson we teach or a Wednesday night out, but that they know that you care about them. And so this morning you're asking, Lynn, I'm tired. I'm a little grouchy. I didn't get much sleep last night. Why are we focusing on this today? The morning after. Fun fest. I did my time. I volunteered. It's now the beginning of summer. It's not this. It's for fun and sun and vacations. Well, this is exactly the reason we are focusing on this today. We would like you, each of you, to consider your part in volunteering for things inside of this church. And to consider it long before the start of our fall kickoff. For help us to get a jump start on our ministries for the fall. A time for each of us to consider how we might use our gifts. Explore a gift. Develop a gift. Or maybe step back into a role that we had early on. And I would encourage each one of us to prayerfully consider assisting in some way to help lighten the load for others. The example that we saw outside of these walls on last evening and throughout that week. Yeah, there was heavy loads from certain people, but the load was lightened quite a bit because of so many people contributing. And I have discovered, and maybe you that have done this, that nurturing our children is one of the greatest gifts that we can give. And I've also discovered in my teaching in clubs, programs, and in others, that when I nurture these youth and children, what I find out is that sometimes and many times it nurtures my own soul. And so I would like to invite a couple people to come forward that are going to share a bit about their ministry experiences. So those that are going to share, please come on up. You know who you are. Okay, we'll start with Rindy. All right. Since you're Rindy. Rindy, well, there's two questions we're going to ask you today. And the first one is this. What area are you serving in, and how long have you been serving? Okay. The other question we have for you is this. What do you get out of serving in this role?
worship time to listen to the sermon. So,
great. Okay. Thank you. Amanda, where do you serve and how long have you been serving?
Right now, I teach Sunday school for the kindergarten through second grade. I'm doing that for about 4 years, I think.
Okay, great. And what did you get out of serving in this role?
I enjoy getting to know the younger kids, and it also gives me a chance to do the fun things you don't get to do enough as an adult, like play games, sing songs, do crafts.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Man, you can be goofy too, right?
That's
you
right.
Can be goofy? Okay, all right, great. Thank you. All right, Johnny? How long have you been, what area are you serving and how long have you been serving there?
I teach junior high and I've been doing it for about 12 years.
Do we have medals here somewhere? Okay, Johnny, you know, you've been doing it for 12 years and I know you have I'm going to help you with this since I know you have a 3-year curriculum that you use and you rotate in. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you get out of serving in this amazing role?
I get a lot of joy in seeing the young people either growing their understanding or growing their ability to express their faith. And I get a lot of joy when I see them take that beyond the class and apply it in life and really internalize and make their faith part of their life. And that's enjoyable for me.
Okay, great.
I have to say I recently sent a comment to Johnny because for the first time in like 5 years or whatever, we soon will not have one of his students anymore. Our family's had him as a teacher now for quite a few years. And he sent back individual comments about what he saw in and appreciated in each of my boys. So with Matt, it was this and this and this. And with Ben, it was this and this and this. And for me as a mom to know that a Sunday school teacher here was taking that kind of personal interest in my kids that they were picking up on, these are the things that make your kid unique and that are valuable to have in my classroom, was really touching. Thank you.
Ben? Ben, what area are you serving and how long?
Care group leader, and for how long, I don't remember.
Now, that's a good answer.
Could be because of what happens to my memory at my age, but it's been a long time.
Okay, so what do you get out of serving as care group leader?
I was thinking about that, and I serve with a group of retired people who are really committed to the care group, and I can usually expect all of them at our meeting. We hold it at a time when nobody has to drive after dark, and we have coffee and donuts, which might help, or pastries. But I, even though I prepare, I know that all I have to do is get something started, and they will carry on. They really are a committed group, and we share our ups and downs.
Great. Thank you, Ben. Okay, last but not least. So, Rich, where do you serve and how long?
I guess you'd call it kitchen cleanup, and it's probably going on about 5 years.
Okay. So now, do you need a PhD for that, or what? I'm just trying to figure
sometimes
out what's qualification.
Sometimes it feels like that.
It does? Okay. All right. But, you know, so the reason I say that is that sometimes, you know, we sort of forget about some of the things that make this church go that are behind the scenes. And a lot of times those doors back there in the kitchen are closed. They don't see what's going on a Wednesday night and maybe on a Sunday morning. But so can I ask you, what do you get out of serving by washing dishes on a Sunday morning?
They're always clean.
They're cool. That's now, that's a great thing.
And I had to think about that, too. One of the main things I get out of is a sense and feeling of community, because I remember the old church, and if you had a fellowship meal, everybody had to pitch in, or you weren't having anything to eat, because, you know, you might have had 80 or 90 people instead of 200. So it's that sense of community that everybody has to help out, joy in seeing the little kids trying to figure out where the dirty utensils go, which bin. But my confession is, the most joy I get out of it is thinking of which person, I'm going to soak with that sprayer. And I've been holding back, so watch out.
Thanks for the warning, Rich. Well, thank you for all of you for sharing this morning, and we appreciate that a lot. Thanks.
So as Christians, we are called to become more and more like Christ. And growing in our faith involves taking steps to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus, we know, was a servant. In Matthew 20, 28, Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And if we back up a little bit, we read Jesus telling us to serve and then drawing that analogy to himself, saying, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." We often look at that as a passage about humility, and rightly so, it certainly is, but it's very much a passage about service. Jesus was one who served, and so service is a step towards following in his footsteps. In Acts, we find several examples where Jesus is called Servant Jesus. That's how the name is described, Servant Jesus. And in 1 Peter 4:10 to 11, we're told to serve, with the scripture saying, "Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." This is what happened here last night. Each person did their individual part. Many of you did many individual parts. And the result was spectacular. And this is what happens here week after week, as you heard Lynn describing the Sunday mornings and the Wednesday nights. And you've heard some of these people sharing what their part is in making this whole puzzle come together. And what a blessing that is. The First Peter passage goes on to remind us that our ability to serve is wholly dependent on God. And it concludes by highlighting the result of such service, the praise and glorifying of God through Jesus Christ. It says, "So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever." In what happened here last night, I believe God was praised through the glory of Jesus Christ. And in what happens here, through the things that happen on a weekly basis, the things that happen in care groups, the things that happen on one-time needs, I believe the same thing is true. Those scripture passages illustrate why we serve. We serve because our great example, Jesus, served. We serve because doing so brings honor to God. And in following Jesus' example and in glorifying God, we are truly living our faith, as we say here at Slate Hill. And as I look around this room, I see person after person after person who is living that out in beautiful, beautiful ways. Even in the secular world, the value of service is recognized. We know that volunteering is considered a protective factor against depression and also a treatment that aids in the healing from it. We know that meaningful work, whether it's in the paid workforce or it's in one's home or it's in a different unpaid position, has substantial impacts on quality of life. And that's no surprise. The Bible is, of course, the owner's manual for our human bodies. It's just that now we see psychology and science catching up and recognizing that what was written in those scripture passages thousands of years ago is also being proved out in those areas. I have come to view opportunities to serve here at church differently than I once did. It's been a bit of a shift in my view. Now looking instead, not so much at how will we fill this role, but instead at who would be blessed by this opportunity. And if some of you received emails from Megan Myers and I, last week, about 10 days before FunFest or so. And we did it differently this year. Instead of us looking and saying, we have openings here that need to be filled, we instead looked and said, what Slate Hill people haven't yet found their fit for FunFest? Are there Slate Hill people who would like to be involved in this who aren't involved yet? And now that we've identified those people, what roles would they enjoy serving in? So rather than calling it, you know, this is, we got to check these off, we instead looked at all of you as valuable resources. And we said, how do we help this person to know that they are part of this team? What roles would they enjoy? And as you may have noticed, we ran out of jobs for people last night. So to God be the glory. That comes back to what I had talked about a few weeks ago, that the oil never runs out. You're here, your resources. Our job as leaders is to provide opportunities for you to get the benefit that comes from using those resources, the benefit that you heard these people talk about, the benefit that we read about in the scriptures, the benefit that even psychology and modern day science is now proving out. You matter to this community. You are needed here. And you certainly matter to Jesus, who demonstrated what it is to be a servant. And you matter to God, who is honored by your servants. So our desire as a church is to provide opportunities for each of you to grow your faith through those service opportunities. Today, instead of having Sunday school, we're going to have a ministry fair. Now, many of you have heard of a missions fair, where you move from display to display and you learn about different mission groups. Today, instead, you'll be moving from display to display and learning about different areas where people serve in this congregation. And we hope you might learn something about yourself. We hope you might learn that, oh, that might be something I would enjoy. That might be something that I would find fulfilling. That might be something that would stretch me. It might feel a little uncomfortable at first, but I'm willing to take the challenge. I'm willing to see how that fits for me. That might be something that I'm not okay with committing to, but I'll try it once and see what happens, and then I can make a decision from there. As you go out today, and we encourage you to go over to the fellowship area, instead of regular snacks, there's a cake to celebrate all that has happened here this morning. And you'll also get a puzzle, a card with a puzzle on it, because when we all do our part, God fits us together to make that puzzle complete and make that beautiful whole. And as you go around to the different areas, if you'll get your stickers on your puzzle, and if you drop it in the box at the end, be sure to put your name on it. I had advertised that there would be one winner chosen to receive a pan of Dawn Schertzer's sticky buns. She didn't look surprised when I said that, which is good. That means the communication has happened. and Lynn told me this morning that they never make just one pan, so there might be more than one card drawn out of there. So if you have any interest in Dawn's sticky buns, know that, you know, the opportunity is there. But even more than sticky buns, it's hard to get more than sticky buns, even more than sticky buns, we hope you'll enjoy the chance to just see some of the things that are happening here on a regular basis and to decide if there are ways that you would like to use your gifts, because each of you is important. Many of you are already using your gifts, and we are so grateful for that. And we want to make sure that each person who is a part of this congregation, whether today or they're not here today and they'll be back another day, knows that they fit into this puzzle, that God has placed their gifts here at this time and this place for a specific need. And it is exciting for us to get to unwrap that package and find out what those gifts are and what God wants to see done with it. So today is about celebrations. We had celebrations for all that happened here for Fun Fest, celebrations for our seniors, celebrations for our sixth graders, celebrations and thanksgiving for the many ways that you are already serving. And it's a day of invitation, a day for you to consider if there is something that you would like to plug into and be part of that puzzle.
So thank you again, and we would like to just continue to thank you for the way that God's working. And Joy and I keep talking about how honored we are to serve you, and we're honored that you are part of this church family. So thank you.